Hey guys, Dil here. Some things in life just do not make sense. Like 200 Plus coming back for a third season. I genuinely cannot believe this show got greenlit. Look, they're good guys all together, but as a podcast, this one is hard to listen to. It's like a cockroach. You just cannot kill it. Nick Butler, Sam Draper are back this year. Charlie Chom Combin, my favourite, has got the call up to the ones. And Max Lynch is a regular as well, just to make things a little weirder. If I'm being completely honest, sometimes this show is pretty funny. And don't be fooled, it's not just for the big boys and girls. Anyone who loves community footy culture will get something out of this pod. Give it a listen, or don't. Welcome back to this special edition of Dil and Friends, a Brownlow special edition of Dil and Friends, with Tommy Mitchell and Lachie Neal. Very excited to sit down with these champions and talk all things Brownlow medal, and also just what they're up to at the moment. It's going to be very exciting to see these guys, what they think is going to happen for the grand final, the Brownlow, and what the rest of their seasons look like in terms of training, getting ready for next year, and both being in the news lately as well. So be interesting to see their thoughts on that. But firstly, me, what have I been up to of lately? Been a big time, very busy time, locked inside time. I've actually found it pretty incredible when you lock yourself inside, you end up being sometimes busier than when you go out. I suppose you put off so much things that you need to do. And for me, I'm well and truly sick of that now. I cannot wait to get outside. I've actually found the last 2 weeks super challenging to stay focused. And yeah, just that lack of connection has been super, super tough. So very much looking forward to getting out and about. It was actually said today in Victoria, we're allowed a picnic. I'm going to be the number one picnicker in Victoria over the next few weeks, and I'm very much excited to get out there and have a few cordials with friends and catch up and get some connection back, because I'm missing that. The sun's coming out too, which is unreal. So good things happening, my friends and family. Cannot wait to do that. If you see me picnicking, make sure you come up, pull up a chair, have a beer, make sure they're a bloke in a bar, and we'll have a chat, because I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, besides that, the studio, can't wait to be allowed back in there. I'm nearly sure with Dil and Friends and List Cloggers next week we'll be back in the studio, which is unbelievable. I'm so excited to get in there. It's going to make things so much easier. Really looking forward to taking that to the next level, which has been cool. So yeah, I've just been basically working as hard as I can, trying to get as much content as I can, which has been really challenging, just doing everything online, but also kind of cool because we've had some people on that we wouldn't have really got on if we weren't sort of in lockdown. So in a way, it has been a little bit of a positive. But yeah, I'm just really excited for what the next little bit holds, and going to go as hard as I can in work and just in life to finish off the year and really set the tone for 2022, which is crazy. I sound like an old man when I say, but fuck, cannot believe it's September already, which is weird. So I'm rambling on a bit, but yeah, just thanks again so much for all the love and support over this latest lockdown. I can't even remember what one we're up to, but yeah, it's been incredible and really has helped me out so much, just stay on task and connect with you all. So I really, really do appreciate that. The show in the last 12 months has developed so much more into just a footy show, and I hope that you've enjoyed that. I hope that you've noticed that. I've been just loving doing so many different episodes, chatting to just different cool people that I really like and really want to get to know more of. And there's so many other things that I want to touch on. So if you ever have any ideas of other sort of avenues or routes that we should be taking with guests, please get in touch, because yeah, we'd love to get your opinion on guests or who to speak to, because it's definitely something that I just love learning about new people and different topics. So definitely keep these ones in. But I thought we'd go back to the original roots to the show, which was footy. And now that we're in lockdown, I was speaking to our good friend Tommy Mitchell yesterday to do a Brownlow special. We've got Lachie Neal involved as well, who's an absolute star, as I said. Come on and chat about the Brownlow. Who's going to win it? What actually happens in these nights, these situations? Who's there? Is there any undercover secrets that we haven't known about, the things they have to do and go? I don't believe for 1 second players go there and they act cool, calm and collected. But if they're not kidding themselves, you want to go there and you want to win the Brownlow. I've never been in that position, but I can imagine that's what they wanted to do. So it'll be good to get some answers from the boys tonight on that one. But nevertheless as well, it's just a big week in footy. I'm hoping to get some other interviews with some grand final players over the coming weeks and get plenty of content out there, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be an unbelievable game. I think I tipped them all wrong, but if you look back now and you see who's in it, Melbourne, Demons, we probably couldn't have asked for a better turnout of that. They're so in form, and I know the prelims have been a little bit sleepy, but I'm really looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be absolutely massive. You know, when I look back at the year that we've had as well, I've been lucky enough to sit down with Caleb Daniel, Max Gorn,
Christian Petrarca late last year and Aaron Norton of late. Yeah, just wrapped and blessed to have the opportunity to sit down with those guys and really just want them to go well. It's hard when you know these guys, and obviously there's going to be one winner at the end of the day. So yeah, hope it's a good game. Hope they absolutely dominate and go well. But yeah, I know how big these weeks are and didn't want to annoy anyone, because I know that if it was me, I wouldn't want to speak to anyone. A couple stories though that have come out of this that have really picked my eyes. One person I just respect to the max is the story of Rourke Smith, which is unbelievable. I think it's two ACLs, 7 1-year deals, delisted twice, and he gets his chance to play in a grand final, which is unreal. I just love that shit, and it's going to be so cool. I think Gardner as well from the Doggies is working at a pub in Yarraville and playing at Footscray, which is just incredible. Like, who would have thought that he'd be fucking playing in a grand final? You know, he probably wouldn't have thought that back in the day, and it's unbelievable. And then you got Gorney, who we love, and he was on the show and spoke so passionately about Melbourne and the history there, that episode as well. If you haven't heard that one, definitely go and listen to Max Gorn, Caleb Daniel, Aaron Norton, and Christian Petrarca, because they're all stars and bloody pumped to see them go. But the Brownlow, it's big. As we said, we've got the boys joining us shortly. I'm very excited to see what their thoughts are, what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And a lot of impressive views by a lot of players. We said Petrarca, Clayton Oliver's another one, the Bont, Jack Steele, Ollie Wines, Sammy Walsh, amazing. If Carlton won some games, he would be winning it, I reckon. And Darcy Parrish. So what an exciting list of talent. Let's get into it. Let's have a chat with the boys. And thanks again for all your love and support. Let's go.
My name is Deborah, Dylan's mum. Welcome to the Dylan Friends Podcast.
Many ways, I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
Tears.
Strength.
I'm like, I run. She's like, everyone runs. I'm like, but does everyone go to the Olympics?
They're sitting there meditating, going, oh my God, I think I'm meditating. How good is this? I'm meditating. It's like,
they had a Wu-Tang call. I was like, yo, Dylan, thanks for getting us in.
Just love
it's
it.
Knuckle puck time. Yeah.
It's like don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Lockie, Neil and Tom Mitchell, welcome to the show, boys. It's been a long time. Lockie, I'll start with you. How are you, my friend?
I'm going very well, thanks. Very well. Last few days have been a little bit quieter. So recovered and ready to attack my off-season program.
Now, it wouldn't show because you still look absolutely incredibly handsome over there in Brisbane, my friend. You're always looking good. And thank you for coming on tonight. Tommy, how are you, my friend? We've been seeing way too much of each other lately.
Yeah, it has been too much. It's a bit over the top. I think I need to share the story of what happened last week. We'll get to that later.
We don't need to get into that straight off the cuff, but I will ask you both what's been happening. Now, Lockie, you alluded to it just earlier that you're a little bit dusty. Obviously, unfortunately, kicked out of the finals in the early stages, and I'm assuming there's been some festivities been happening over the last few days. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been good. We all caught up over the weekend, just been because we were in sort of like isolation, playing some dirty Vicks the week before, so we weren't allowed out anywhere or anything like that for the first week. So it was a good way, just a nice little rub your face in the mud for us, get kicked out in straight sets and then can't leave the house for a week. So that was nice, but nah, the last few days have been good. Caught up with the boys and, it was unfortunate that we went down by a point to the Doggies, but I think it shows we're not far off as well. So hopefully we'll be thereabouts again next year.
Does that make it harder or does that make it easier knowing you lost by 1 point to a team that plays off in the grand final? Is it a harder pill to swallow knowing that could have been you, or do you sit back and go, well, fuck, at least they actually went on to make the granny?
Yeah, I think like early on it's probably harder because you've realised how close you were, but once the dust settles, I think it shows that we were right in the mix this year, so not far off being in the position that they're in, so hopefully it's us next year.
And we've got to ask, mate, you single-handedly broke the internet a couple of weeks ago. I think there was people, it was up there with the Kim Kardashian type trending through Twitter. There's people calling it from everywhere. Talk us through your recollections. You've come out and gone absolutely whack. I'm staying, my friends. Get out of my face. But what was that week like for you? For people that don't know what happened, someone was reporting Lockie was going to be heading home. Wasn't the case to be, but how was that week for you?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was probably worse for Jules, to be honest. I was able to turn my phone off and stay off social media, but she was copping a bit of heat, so I probably felt more for her. And I suppose the attack that she sort of got on those platforms, and then probably by some people in the media sort of questioning my character about all of that stuff, was probably affecting her a little bit more than me. But at the same time, I don't really care if people attack me about my footy and what happens on field. But there was a couple that sort of went at my personality and my loyalty and things like that, which was a little bit disappointing. But these things happen, so I'll move on pretty quick. But yeah, it was sort of fast forwarded for us. We obviously, Jules has got family in Perth, and I have really strong roots there and a lot of support over there through family and friends. So I've got a bit of family in Perth too. And with COVID, we'd sort of discussed the possibility of going back at some stage. We didn't know when that might be 1 year, 2 year this year, or sort of 5 years time. It sort of came out that I was going to request a trade this year, which wasn't the case. So yeah, came out a couple of days later and sort of righted that wrong, I suppose. But yeah, it's good to move on from it. It was pretty hectic.
I can imagine, man. It would have been absolutely nuts. And it's crazy, I suppose, you moved to Brisbane to get a bit more of a chilled lifestyle and these things are still popping up. Tommy, even yourself, you're being, not that this episode is about trade week at all, we're probably stumbled across this. We'll move on from this quickly, but you've even been thrown into that many articles of late and I suppose even earlier in the year about some stuff that you were getting a hold of too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Similar to Lockie, like you have to laugh sometimes at some of the stuff that comes up. Like I was apparently Lockie was taken off and I was going to Brisbane, and then the other day I was going to Port, and I was going to Richmond. Apparently I'm going to every team. I'm going to play for every team next year. So, it is funny. You got to laugh at that stuff, especially when there's no truth to it.
You're in demand, boys, and that's a good thing to have. My articles this time of year were all about getting other contracts. So, look, it's a good problem to have. I know you two can't see it, but it is a good problem to have. Now, obviously not where we want to be. You boys want to be there winning flags. But at the moment, I thought, why not get two of the absolute superstars of the competition? And luckily, my friends, Ball Magnets, to come on and talk about something very special that's happening this week, being the Brownlow. You two have both been there. You've both won it. You've both single-handedly dominated and carried teams on your back for seasons. You've got the three votes. You've put the medal around your neck. How exciting. Are you going to be watching with intently this round? What does it mean to you to win this firstly? Is it as big as what people think it is? Tom, I'll start with you.
Oh, I think, yeah, it's something you probably reflect on later in your career. I remember as a kid, I used to always love watching it. It's not something you strive to do, but, you know, I think it's a pretty prestigious award. It's obviously a huge build-up to it. I'll be going. So I've got an email from the AFL. I think there's five of us in Melbourne who are going. So due to COVID, there's not many that can attend. So I think there's Sam Walsh, Darcy Parrish, Zach Merritt, Josh Kelly, maybe one other, Jack Steele. So I think it'll just be a nice intimate table of us just sitting around watching the count. But my tip's the Bonds. I think Bonds and Pally's going to win it. They're holding a function in Melbourne, so not exactly sure where that'll be.
Wow.
But yeah, not doing the day trip to Perth, unfortunately.
You're allowed like picnics and stuff now in Melbourne, aren't you? Might be a picnic.
Brownlow picnic.
Man, I'm the picnic king. I'm telling you now, there's no one's going to be hitting harder a picnic than I am. Locke, are you heading over to the Brownlow? You're allowed to travel at the moment? I don't know. I actually live inside my house and I'm not allowed out, so I'm not sure what is happening in the rest of the world. Are you allowed to head over to WA?
I don't think so, but we have a function at the Gabba on Sunday night, yeah. So we've got like Gold Coast and us, and then I think a few sort of other people that are holidaying in Queensland that are coming to the Gabba function. So apparently it'll be pretty similar size to what it was last year at the Gabba for us, which was, yeah, a good amount. So should be good.
Tommy said his pick's the Bont. Who's your pick? And also give me someone else that you think is a smoky to finish up there somewhere, someone else that you think actually could poll relatively well that we might have thought of. And Tommy, I'll come back for yours.
I think the Bond as well. He might get run down late, but yeah, it's going to be close. I reckon obviously Wine's had a really good year, and Clayton Oliver and Petrarca will be up there too. But I reckon Jack Steele will come home in the second half of the year really well. He played some good footy and the Saints started to win quite a few games in that back half. So he's my, I don't know if he's a smoky, he's probably one of the favourites, I don't know, but I think he'll be right up there.
Yeah, probably Sam Walsh is another one. I think, you know, there's probably the five or so names that Lockie mentioned who are probably, you know, tipped to win, but I think Sammy Walsh will poll pretty well, especially as a young player, at an awesome season, so I'd love to see him get a few votes.
What do you think, boys? Like, how do you win a Brownlow? I don't know, that's a stupid question, but do you think now, like looking back, is it about consistency throughout the year? Or is it about, you know, having polling three voters? Is it just polling two voters? What do you look back now and think, like, is actually a Brownlow year?
Do you want me to go, Locke?
Yeah, you can go. I'll go after you.
We'll have a crack at it. You're probably not going out there thinking, I want to get threes, I want to get twos, that sort of thing. I think it just comes down to you want to perform at a high level. I think most players in the league would say that. You want to perform at a high level every week for your team. And how you do that, I think, comes down to preparation. So if you've put the work in, you know you're going to go out and you know you're confident in your ability to play well. So first and foremost, you're out there to win. You're out there to play for the team and win. And then, you know, obviously you want to perform at a high level. And, you know, for me, I guess that's preparing well throughout the week, making sure my body's feeling good, done all my touch and preparation so that give yourself the best chance to play well game day.
You've probably seen, like, if you pull threes, you have to do all that stuff Tommy's talking about, but to win it, like, if I think threes usually win it. So if you can pull 8 or 9 sort of best ons, you're going to be in with a chance. So it's like consistency is probably important, but you could see a guy have like 12 really good games and he's in the mix and the other 10 he's no good. So I don't know how many games Tommy polled in his Brownlow year, but I think mine was 11. And what did we play, 17 games in 2020? My other 6 were like putrid, I reckon.
So you've just single-handedly dominated half the season and then and not polled in the others. But talk us through the second half of the year, because I know that's probably where it starts to tighten up a bit. And this is a podcast between friends, okay? No one else is going to listen to this. Don't give me this shit like, it's a team sport. We want to win premierships. I don't care what you say. When it gets to that time and you're a chance to win the Brownlow, you'd be lying if you said you didn't want to win it. How does the mindset change towards the end of the year? Do you actually think, like, in your head, like, fuck, I actually could be a chance here. I'm getting written about for the Brownlow. Does it go through your mind at all in those last, like, 3, 4, 5 games?
I think for me, it's might have gone through my head, like, early in the week. But once you're playing, like, never think about it at all. The only time I ever thought about it was on the field was I tackled Blakey from Sydney and it was almost like a dump tackle. I think a couple of their players said like, oh, there goes your Brownlow or something. And I sort of thought, oh, I might actually be in trouble for this. And it got showed on the replay a few times on the big screen when I was playing and noticed it. So I thought, oh, maybe that is done. But during games, like, yeah, never think about it. But late in the year and early in the week, you obviously hear a bit of that chatter. But yeah, come game day, I've never thought about it.
Yeah, I think in Melbourne, Brisbane's a little bit different, but the fishbowl of Melbourne, you know, I agree with Lockie. I guess game day and things like that, it's not something you think about. It's more, I guess, the week to week people, you know, the conversations out with people talk about it. It's a bit of a topic. So that'd be the time, I guess, that it comes up. Just people who love footy and real passionate about it. But what about you, Bucks? How many Brownlow votes you poll in your footy career?
I didn't poll any, and it still keeps me up at night, to be honest.
What about the game that was actually pick three?
No, it's fucking bullshit. Yeah, I know. No, it's absolutely bullshit. I still actually keeps me up at night thinking about that game. At least, like, genuinely should have polled one, and I've looked up who was reporting that game since, and it still does annoy me. With the Brownlow, my theory on the Brownlow, though, and I think, like, I purely think this happened to both of you, was when you won the season before, you probably should have won as well. Do you think you nearly have to, like, win the Brownlow, not win it, to then win it the year after? Like, you need to have a breakout year, deserve to win it, not really poll as well. And then the next year going in, you end up playing exactly the same, but you end up winning the Brownlow. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I don't think I would have beaten Dustin Martin, though. That's a bit of a pump up for me, Gil. I think you had the best season in the history of the AFL, but thanks. Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. I think, you know, obviously the media make a lot of noise around the awards. So, you know, everyone's only human, I guess, the umpires and things like that as well. And the more well-known players are, I guess they tend to attract a little bit more attention. So I understand what you're saying. And yeah, maybe you do. Maybe you have to be a consistent performer for a few years before you put yourself in contention.
I think you do have a point. There are times, like in the past when you're younger, you probably think that you deserved a vote or two and didn't get one. And the big names tend to get the votes. But yeah, it probably takes a little bit of time to establish yourself. That's why, hopefully, as Tommy said, Sammy Walsh can poll quite a few because he probably deserves a lot from the year that he had. So hopefully he gets recognised for that. But yeah, I think for most people, it probably takes a year or two. Like, I think probably Petrarca last year might have deserved a few more votes than what he got. So he'll probably poll a little bit better this year. He's got Oliver and Gawn to contend with as well.
Yeah, that's a problem, I suppose, taking points from each other. Take us to Brownlow night, though. These boys that are there on Sunday, they're going to obviously be sitting exactly where you two were, you know, not long ago to win. What's the night like? What's something that the average Joe like myself wouldn't actually know that actually goes on behind the scenes that happens to players in the count?
Yeah, well, the count in Melbourne, generally there's about 6 players from each club that go. So you probably get to Crown I don't know, early afternoon. And then, yeah, there's a lot of downtime. So I think everyone sort of gets together and has a quiet beer. You might catch up with some players from other clubs, some mates we hadn't seen for a while. And then obviously the girls get ready, they do their thing, and the guys just chuck a suit on. And yeah, then you obviously head down to the red carpet or whatever it is at about 6 or 7. You have dinner before they do the count. And then, yeah, get stuck into the beers, which is probably the best part.
Brownlow stories, boys. There's always infamous and famous stories of what's happened. Does anything stand out to you guys of your years behind the scenes? Can you take us into the inner sanctum of what happens after you win? You get awarded your medal, and then what happens?
Obviously, mine was different with a COVID affected year. So I was just at the Gabba. It was actually good. I had my family and stuff. We just lost a prelim the night before, which wasn't great, but was able to have my family and a few of my mates in Queensland, in Brisbane as well, which they probably wouldn't have been if it was in Melbourne. And all 45 of my teammates were in Brizzy as well. So usually, as Tommy said, there's only 5 or 6 that get invited from every team, and the others would stay in Brizzy. So I got to see all of them afterwards, and that was pretty special to share it with them. Was awesome. So that's something that I don't actually know if it was legal at the time, but I did see all the teammates and a few of my mates after. But yeah, it was great. I think Fags and Swanee and sort of the board, a couple of people from the board and stuff were able to attend my house after, which was great.
Tommy, you had a nice after party from what you've been telling me.
Yeah, well, actually, before the medal was presented, so I think it was around 21 or 2 or something, and I'd found out I was going to win, but I was nervous. Obviously, I had to get up and speak, so raced out to the bathroom and just obviously on the waters and just trying to sort of compose and think about what I was going to say. And then at the Brownlow, they actually don't let you in and out of the doors. You can't just walk in and out when you want. So, you know, that's for the telecast and things. It doesn't look very professional. So I was actually locked out when they were about to announce the winner. And I told the security, I'm like, I think I need to get in there. She's like, nah. She's like, you're not getting in. I'm like, all right, well, anyway. And then another security guard came and grabbed me, pretty much ushered me to the chair. And there was a heap of cameras there waiting. And I was puffed out and just sat down. And then they pretty much read it straight out. So I almost missed it, which would have been a story. But yeah, the after party was pretty cool as well. They gave us one of those, I think they're called Crystal Villas at Crown. I think it's where like Roger Federer stays or something. Anyway. They gave us one of them, and good Hawthorn man, Stewie Giles, put on a good party, and Freo players, I think Geelong was there, Luke Hodge was passed out on the couch, so that was pretty awesome to see. But that was a good night, good celebrations.
Unbelievable. Wrapping up the Brownlow, we've spoken about, you both think the Bont's going to win. Jack Steele is your smoky. Tommy, who was your smoky? Did you have one for us?
Sam Walsh.
Sam Walsh, wow, special, yep. Okay. That's big. If you know, he's going to probably win 5 or 6 in his time. Moving on to the week after, I know it's hard to talk about for a few of us, but grand final, who do we think is going to win the granny, Tommy?
Oh, it's going to be a good game. Obviously, there's been a bit of talk about Melbourne's preparation. Obviously, only playing the one game in, I think, 28 days. I think they're the best team. I think the quality of footy they're playing, like that prelim, wow, like they were pretty awesome. But having said that, I think in my time in playing footy, the team I find hardest to play against is the Bulldogs. I just think when they're handball game, they're contested games on, they're bloody hard to play against. So I think it's going to be pretty tight, but I will go with Melbourne. I think Melbourne will win.
As you know, played against both of them the last couple of weeks and lost them both. I agree with Tommy. I think Melbourne will win when we played them. They're just so structurally sound and really hard to get past. I think we kicked 5 or 6 goals in the first quarter and then maybe 3 after that. So when they're on defensively, they're really hard to get past. Bulldogs, their midfield, unreal when they're on. But, yeah, I think Melbourne will be too good. And I got one for you, Tommy. Next year, if you make the finals, all you have to do is play us and you'll end up in a grand final. The last 3 years I've been here, we've played finals, and the two teams we've played in all 6 finals have ended up playing in the granny. So...
Well, that might be hard, mate, because apparently I'm getting traded to Brisbane, so I might be playing with you.
Oh, I'll see you here in a few months.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll quarantine. I'll see you out there in a few weeks.
I'm hoping you boys will be able to break that trend. Going into it, lads, give us just a little bit more on this. Is players that you've played against, and, like, obviously you've played against both of these teams recently, who are some players that are really underrated in these outfits that you wouldn't quite know that play massive roles for the teams?
Yeah, I think the last couple of weeks, Dunkley has done a really big role for them. I think at halftime against Essendon, Parrish was off the chain and they sort of sent Dunkley as a forward up to him at stoppages, and he sort of nullified his influence a lot in that game. And against us, he played on me at stoppages, and they play a few tricks in the midfield, and he plays a really important role for them. So he'll probably play on like an Oliver or Petrarca at stoppage and try and nullify their influence and try and hurt them the other way. So Dunkley's one for Melbourne. I think Ed Langdon, what he does on the wing, runs all day. I've teammates with him at Frio, but I reckon he's had a really underrated year. He's an absolute machine runner and just goes all day. He's really set him up with his overlap run and his run and carry. So they're two that probably slide under the radar a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, not that these guys fly under the radar, but I think Libba as a player is underappreciated. He's so good. He's probably a player that I watch when I watch tape. Like, I watch him. Like, he's really good at what he does if you watch closely. I think Caleb Daniels' skill level is probably spoken about, but his kicking ability is pretty elite. Bont is the hardest player that I've had to match up on. Like, he's just because he's so big, tall, strong, fast. Like, you have to think a lot to beat him, which is very hard to do. It doesn't happen often. Probably from Melbourne as well, Cozzy Pickett's pretty exciting. Like, he reminds me a bit of Cyril. So I think he's going to be a super player as well.
Love it. From mine, one player that I'm really looking forward to seeing playing the granny. And it's I love this time of year because it like separates, it gives players that have had like tough careers the chance to really elevate himself. And I don't know if you played with him, Locke, but Josh Shackey last week, the game that he played on Alir, if he goes to someone like Lever next week and is able to shut him out of the game and nullify his impact on the game, that will then set him up with the most amount of confidence to go bang in the years to come. So I think if he can do that again, and what he was able to do, it was pretty special on the weekend, and was big for them to get it done. So that's why I honestly have no idea who's going to win this game, but I do think in a way the Doggies have a lot more role players. Like, you've got Taylor Dre as well, who will probably go to Cozzy Pickett. Shackey might go to Lever. But again, Melbourne, they're so strong. Max Gawn, Petrarca, Oliver, who fucking knows? It's going to be an incredible game. Boys, the grand final, as we said, you're obviously unfortunately not in it this year, but the eyes go to preseason, getting bigger, better, stronger for next year. Give us an insight onto this mindset shift. You've had your fun now, the pendulum shifts, and you go bang into preseason training. Like, I'll start. Actually, you're a little bit dusty still. I might start with Tommy. He looks like he's been probably he got knocked out a lot earlier, so he's probably back into training. How important is the off season, mate? Like, what are you up to? How much are you training at the moment?
Yeah, I think it is important to have a break first and foremost. You got to let your hair down, have a bit of fun, catch up with the guys at the end of the season and celebrate the year that it was. Just, you know, spending the year together. And then I think, you know, once you do get into your training program, I think the approach is not to just do your program and come back just, you know, you're fit and in good nick. It's like, all right, how can I come back better? So what work do I need to do to come back day one, so I'm actually better than where I was the last game of the season? So it is hard to do because you probably can't do a body of work, but I think with that mindset and that approach, you sort of put yourself in a good spot.
What's your biggest improvement that you need to make this year? And that might seem silly because you're a Brownlow medalist, you're obviously a leader of the comp, but you would have had some feedback that you still need to get better at certain things. What's the one thing for you that you're focusing on this offseason?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing for me the last couple of years has just been getting my body right. Like, the leg has taken, you know, I missed 12 or 18 months, but it's probably taken 2 to 2.5 years to actually feel normal again. So that and getting on top of a couple of niggles, like, I feel as though, you know, getting your body in a good spot gives yourself the best chance to work on your footy. And then with my footy, it's just an overall improvement. I just want to keep getting better at everything. I haven't really narrowed it down to a singular focus yet. I just need to get my body in a good spot, and then I'll think about that next.
Locke, what about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a little bit in the same boat. I didn't have a off-season or really a pre-season last year, and I reckon it hurt my footy, and I was never able to get on top of it until pretty late in the piece. Started to feel like myself probably the last 4 or 5 games that I played in the season, but before that I was playing catch-up. So I've had a good week and a half off at the moment. Our program kicks in next week, so I'll early on just start focusing on making sure my body's pulling up really well from those sessions. And I think for me, when I was playing my best footy in 2020, I was driving out of stoppages with my legs and able to take a bit more ground. And this year I didn't quite get back to that. So that'll be something that I focus on, which starts in the gym as well. So I wasn't able to do much gym work last preseason, especially through my core and my legs. So I'll look to build that up pretty early in the piece. And as Tommy said, hopefully by day one of preseason, I'm ready to go and can start working on the footy aspect by doing heaps of work in the gym, heaps of work on the field with my running power and stuff, and just being ready to go so that when the footies come out early on, I'm chomping at the bit.
I think that was interesting, actually. I've come into that question and it shows that the difference of mindset between obviously two of the AFL's elite versus me. I'm thinking, what do people need to get better at? But the answer that you two have pretty much given is obviously focus on what you need to get better at, but mainly actually focus on what you're good at and just improving that even more. Like I think that's something that for young players, and we'll talk about ball magnets and transitioning that into now, which obviously you two are involved in and you're dominating, and it's an incredible app, which we'll talk about and give a refresher on. But the biggest thing I regret is not focusing on the things that I was good at and always trying to add something else to my bow rather than just fucking going, these are my A1s, let's just nail down these, as well as improving other things.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I know I'm never going to be a small defender. So like this preseason, I won't concentrate on working on defense. But I think when you're younger, you got to start to develop all the different things. But as you said, when you get a bit older, you sort of learn what you're really good at, what areas really help the team, and if there's an area that you do let the team down in. So for me, I felt like my tackling actually improved this year compared to previous years, so that I was letting the team down a couple of years ago with some of my tackling efforts and didn't put enough emphasis on that. But that was something that was actually hurting the team that I had to get better at and felt that I did. But also put more hours into my strengths than anything else. So my hands, my footwork at stoppages, things like that I'm really good at, making sure that they're absolutely cherry ripe. Otherwise, you just become average at everything.
Yeah, I think that's why you get picked. It's you get picked for what you're good at. So spot on what you said, Bucks. It's, you know, make that your real weapon. That's a word that we use at Hawthorn. Get your weapon right and then, you know, work on your deficiencies, but make what you're really good at really good. Basically.
Boys, let's talk about it. Ball magnets. We had an episode earlier in the year with us two. We had Cripper on. We had Matty Rowell on the show. It was unbelievable. So if you haven't heard that one, make sure you go back and have a chat. But Tommy, for those who don't know what it is, give us a little bit of a rundown and then give us a chat about what's actually happening with the app at the moment and what's happening in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we got some pretty exciting news, which Lockie and I are happy to share. But basically, what the app is, it's a footy training app. So myself, Lockie Neal, Paddy Cripps, Aaron Phillips as well. So we sort of give you a training session a week, a footy session and a strength session. So train with us, there's tips and insights. So we've obviously got guys like Toby Green, Dylan Scheel, Jack Viney, Adam Treloar, Josh Dunkley, players from all over the league sharing their secrets. There's some tricks and challenges. Like, it's just a really fun app that, you know, teaches you the right way to train. And it's sort of like some training that you should be doing if you want to get better at no matter what level you play at, to get the best out of yourself. So encourage all kids of all ages, parents, coaches, everyone to download it. It's going to be pretty special.
And that's live on Monday the 20th. So make sure you get on that.
Well, yeah, we didn't actually say the announcement there, Dil. So we're actually making it free. So it's going to be free for everyone. So there's no payment anymore. And that's been possible due to our sponsors, AIA and Iron Edge. So thanks to Damien Mew and Rick Ravensdale who have made this possible. So no one needs to pay for ball magnets now. So you can get pretty much the best coaching from the players for free. So all you have to do is download the app.
That's unbelievable. So I will be getting on this. I will download some ball magnets. I need a preseason, boys. I've been inside. I've been locked down. I didn't have a great rig when I was playing, so it's definitely not good at the moment. What sort of things are we looking at on the app? And I'm talking, this is actually genuinely what you guys will be training. So when Lockie Neal is going for a running session, these running sessions will be on the app. Is that correct?
Paddy, Tommy and I and Aaron will be able to chuck up some AFL standard stuff, which is pretty cool. And I think you'd be able to get that sort of access in too many places. So our off-season program is pretty rigorous. I'm sure the Hawks are the same and the Blues are the same, but they'll all be a little bit different as well. So you'll be able to pick up on things that you like doing, enjoy doing, things that you find pretty challenging, but hopefully help you in the long run. So it's pretty exciting.
I've seen Paddy Cripps run a 2K time trial and I will not be challenging. Any kids out there, I would not be following that one. Maybe focus on Aaron or Lockie or Tom. Tommy, what else is on the app in terms of fitness and strength and all these types of things, like what else is going to be accessible for everyone to train with?
Yeah, well, on the Cripple one, he's actually doing a speed program, speed and power, so you won't have to worry about the endurance.
Okay, good.
Big Rick. Yeah, it is mostly footy, you know, hand skills, kicking skills, some technique stuff, but also some really cool drills that we do at AFL level, which people wouldn't have seen before. It's the training, I guess, that gets you to the next level. And also, yeah, so basically we're going to give you a pre-season program. So, you know, do a pre-season with your favourite AFL players, Lachie Neal and Paddy Cripps. I know when I was a kid, I would have loved something like this. So that's the intention, is to make it free for everyone, get everyone the best training to make the game better. And a cool little giveaway as well, thanks to Iron Edge, is if you complete the pre-season, we're going to give away a home gym. So home gym, which obviously through COVID times, everyone's in need of that. So we'll give away a whole gym set up. If you can complete the pre-season with the four of us, then win the gym. So Bucks, you should definitely download.
I definitely need some time at the gym. So you're saying if you download the app, you complete the whole pre-season, you get through all the sessions, you're going to running to win a gym.
Yeah, well, even, you know, it might not be realistic to complete every session, but if you've got the app downloaded, you're going to go in the running to win a home gym. Obviously, if you do the sessions, you're going to get the improvement and get the fitness naturally as well, but you'll still be in the running
So I can just download the app and maybe win the gym. I don't actually have to do the sessions. Is that
Well, we need to nut it out. Maybe there'll be a loophole, but maybe there won't. We'll figure it out.
Because I'll definitely enter if that's the case. No, it's exciting. Make sure you get on it, guys. We'll have the link in the show notes with the app. Obviously, Ball Magnets on Instagram, ballmagnets.com on the App Store as well. Sign up and get on that app. Hey, boys, before we finish up, I want to talk about one thing. I'm always love to hear from you guys. You got the best insight in the game, and obviously your team, you know it better than anyone else. And I think we spoke about this last time on the show, but give us a young player from both of your teams that is going to go to take one player that'll go to A grade, and then one player that'll take the next step from that fringe player to be in the team next year. Is there anyone that pops to mind? Because Locke, there's one that pops to mind from Brisbane, Zach Bailey, the way he went about it in that final series. I actually used to play against this bloke in the NEAFL, and I didn't know who he was. And to see what he's doing now, it is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a freak. I think when I first got here, he was the one that was like on the fringe, it'll take the next step, that I used to say if I got interviewed and things like that. And he just improved so much over the last few years. And if he's not now, he will be next year, a genuine A-grade player. I reckon he kicks goals. I think he kicked like 30-something goals this year, playing sort of half forward and mid. He's got an unbelievable step. He's super fast, and he's probably the most balanced kicker of the ball running at full pace that I've ever seen. So once he plays a little bit more footy, which he's sort of played that 40 to 60 games now, once he sort of gets into that 60 to 80 and he's played that 4 or 5 seasons, he's going to be hard to stop. So can't wait to see what he brings next year. It's exciting for the club and exciting for him. One that's been on the fringes a little bit, probably another mid, but Dev Robertson, I love the way he goes about it. He reminds me of like a Rory Sloan type. He just gives everything, a tackling machine. You tell him to do something, he'll do it without a second thought. So I can't wait to see what he brings next year as well. He got so much fitter this year than he was last year, and I know that he's the sort of kid that'll go again. So can't wait to see what he brings.
He was actually one as well that missed out on the top draft. So they split it now over 2 nights. I think last year was the first time, and I was actually at the draft. I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story. And I actually think it's great because he was so passionate about it. But I think he might have been tipped to go a little bit higher than he was. And he was the only player at that first draft that didn't get picked up. And there were so many guys there that, you know, had been picked up. They got their jumpers. He had to wait another 24 hours to then find out his fate. But I never remember. He was, you know, he was shattered. But in a way, like, I can imagine how much that would have steeled his resolve to dig deep. And obviously it hasn't stopped him the way he's going now, but it probably just shows the kids out there, and we've spoken about it so much that it really doesn't matter where you get picked up as long as you do.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. On the night he was pretty flat and probably embarrassed, to be honest. Like, he had his parents and stuff there, and was the only kid, as you said, not to get drafted on that first night. So I think in a way that's really shaped him and helped him the way he goes about it now at pre-season and in-season training. He's second to none, and who knows, maybe if he went a little bit higher where he's projected, he might not have had that same hunger. But yeah, well, I was pick 58, and you were around the mark as well, weren't you, Dil?
I was 61, so yeah. Maybe if I'd have gone any higher, or maybe later would have helped me a bit more. I was pick 61, but still picks. I thought I was pick 61, but still thought I was a first rounder for some weird decision. Tommy, Hawks.
Well, yeah, probably two that are already pretty well known. I think CJ and Will Day. I think they're two players that have already shown A grade capabilities, but I think they both had injuries this year and could well and truly be cemented as an A grader next year. Another player that I think is up and coming, very young, 19 years old, Jai Newcombe. So he was plucked from Box Hill midway through the year. Yeah, tackle machine. 14 on debut. I think he had 11 the last game he played as well. So he's a bull. So I think he's one of those guys that you love playing with. He's only played a handful of games, but I think he could be a serious player.
Tommy as well, I haven't even asked you about this, but obviously big news with Clark are not there anymore. Quick word on Sam Mitchell. Are you excited about this? Are you excited to have him coaching? Like, what's going to be the difference? Has anything changed already?
Yeah, no, Mitchell's going to be awesome. I think, you know, Clarko had such an impact on us all. Like, he was such a great coach and such a good person and, you know, did a lot for so many of us. And, yeah, Mitch is the same. Like, just such a good guy who's got all of our backs and, yeah, very smart with his footy IQ, which I think everyone already knows about. So we haven't talked a lot of footy strategy yet. So I guess we'll get stuck into that in the preseason. Mitch has sort of told us that he wants us to go away, have a break, not think about footy, so that when we start, we're refreshed and we're ready to take in his ideas and content. So, yeah, we haven't heard a lot about it yet, but we'll wait and see.
And give us a confirmation that Clarko's going to Carlton.
Can confirm. I think he's been on the record of saying he wants to have a breather, and so he should. I think when you've been doing that job for 20 years, I don't know how senior coaches do it, to be honest. Like, it'd be the most stressful job. So, I think he'll have a break, and then who knows if he'll get into it after that.
We spoke about the news earlier, and I don't know if we even believe it, but I even heard that Carlton were trying to poach Chris Fagan. So that's where they're at the moment. I'm not sure what's happening there. But, boys, thank you so much. Cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. You're absolute stars. You are like wallpaper in this organisation. You're just there. You're always welcome. I love yous. Can't wait to catch up for a beer as soon as we can. And a big shout out to you, Locke, as well, and Jules. Expecting your first beautiful little girl, hopefully very, very soon. So shout out to you, mate. Dad is going to be what your new nickname is. That's not a nickname. That's just what you call a dad. So you will be a dad, and I'm very excited for that and can't wait to catch up soon.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, can't wait to see you both.
If that wasn't enough for you and you want even more, you're in luck. Dylan Friends is now on Patreon. Dylan Best Friends. An exclusive loyalty subscription featuring the debrief podcast of each episode and bonus Q&As from Patreon members like this.
Favourite TV or film?
Favourite TV series, the old Simpsons. Seasons 1 to 12, can't go past Breaking Bad either. And film, big Star Wars fan, massive Star Wars fan.
Okay, wow.
And there's plenty more where that came from. If you'd like to learn more, you can head to patreon.com/Dylan Friends or you can head to the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to the Dylan Friends podcast. If you like the show, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, leave a review, or even share with your friends. The show is produced by myself and Sam Bonza. Damon Jackman from Creative Edge Films is responsible for audio and visual production. The show is recorded at the Dylan Friends Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you'd like to get in touch or suggest a guest or advertise with the Dylan Friends podcast, please email us at inquiries@dylanfriends.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.